Welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast of Jaybird.
Steve, how you doing?
Doing wonderful, but today you were wrist deep, elbow deep, shoulder deep in stuff at the shop.
We got a lot of stuff in today. It was crazy. Crazy, Steve, I tell you.
Crazy.
We got a pallet of Savage Gear.
Of the new suckers, boys.
Savage Gear sucker. 9-inch, 12-inch model. Beautiful. These things look unbelievably cool.
Rumor has it they look like suckers.
That is the shape of the bait, but they have different color patterns.
Word on the street.
Yeah, that's the word on the street. I mean, they have a walleye pattern that's very kind of perch, hybrid walleye looking, too. I mean, these things are going to look good in the water. I promise I'm going to get some footage of this thing in the water ASAP, like hopefully by Monday. That's the goal.
I mean, that is definitely...
Got to see it in the water. The still pictures are great, but, you know...
That is definitely the hyped swim bait.
Mm-hmm.
They're out with this thing, and you go, boom. Savage makes a good product.
It's been a very long wait on them. They've been very, very delayed with shipping issues, but we finally got them. So
boom.
We got a bunch of them, so...
Very cool.
It'll be a good one to check out.
Well, yeah, there's a lot. It's funny because you look at like the baits that have been available. And it's like swim baits were a new thing. It felt like an hour and a half ago. And now there's a lot of options, you know, and it's just like checking them out. And it looks cool. We'll see what she does. I think it's going to be a home run, though, especially. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it looks like a slower action, like a heavier bait. You know, me and you talked about that the other day, where it looks like it's going to run down there, it seems to be.
Well, judging from their, if you've ever thrown those, what were the first ones that came up?
3D bats.
The 3D, no, not the bat. I know you love the bats, but the 3D trout, kind of a similar deal. It's just like a real fish body kind of thing, segmented, soft plastic, wiggly kind of deal. You bring those things and you just crawl them and let them swim on their own. You bring that thing in, when you start your L turn of the boat, I mean, it looks absolutely startlingly real.
Nice.
So that's what I'm expecting on this sucker.
You know what? I tapped into realms of the imagination most people will never understand, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
I now have a 4D bat.
How'd you go from 3D to 4D?
You wouldn't understand.
Okay.
Realms of the imagination that most cannot grasp. Throwing the 4D bat. It's just in another dimension. It's hard to comprehend for most.
4D, very impressive,
the
Steve.
4D bat. Speaking of 4D bats. taking it back to the just a simple dimensions. If you guys are catching fish in the fourth dimension, let me know. Send a message. You don't even have to email. It just shows up in my brain. Sorry.
Wow.
The other thing that showed up, another swim bait, but it's from Canada. Shoot the buck.
Shoot the buck. The Restless Riders.
The Restless Riders.
Yeah, that's a cool looking bait too.
It is. It's funky. It's like... Is that hollow, Jay? Is it like a hollow swim bait? Is it solid plastic?
No, I think they're solid. He said it's a one-piece pour deal with it. It's got that top fin thing coming out, shooting out the top, going by, shooting the puck all the way back there. Pretty neat. It's not like one of these overly heavy things. You can throw it on normal gear. I forget the weight, 4 or 5 ounces or something. Mm-hmm. Right in the middle there. Very nice.
Very nice.
It's going to have a lot of wiggle.
You know, I mean, it's just, there's so many options in the swim bait game. Muskie Shop's got them all. We got all the fun swim baits. I mean, I was playing this week, you know, with the Bogs, the Mohawk.
Yeah, you told me.
You know, and it's just like super cool. Restless Rider, super cool. You got the Savage Gear. There are so many choices anymore. And it's just, it just mind boggling at times where you're going, man, we got a lot of crap we can play with here.
I know, I love
and
it.
I'm excited. I'm hoping that the Savage Gear, that sucker is going to be dynamite. It looks like it is. Everything I've heard about it so far sounds pretty good. You know, I'm not a Poseidon guy. Never been my cup of tea. I like the swimming dog. You guys have probably heard me say that before. Like, I like that wobble, but I want that swim bait that's got a lot of oomph to it, and I think that's going to be the one. You know, just a chunky, big swim bait. You know, I don't know. What do you think, Jay? Mm-hmm. I know you didn't get to throw them yet, but with those Savage Gear, pretty beefy bait.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, pretty beefy. I think what's the weight on the 9-inch? Maybe 5 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty heavy. The 12-inch is a pretty big bait. I think it's over 10 ounces.
Yeah.
And they've got that hook system that pulls out.
Right.
And it's like people have kind of not strayed away from in the past, but been a little wary of, let's call it, European design baits.
We don't have to mouse around it. That's totally
You don't have to mess around with rigging it yourself. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, right. It should be pre-rigged. I mean, we're talking about musky foot. Yeah.
Wait, I just had a European on the boat, Jay. You put out the team, my friend from the Netherlands. They love all those funky, like, rigs.
They do. They're experts at it. Yeah.
They're screwing them in. They'll buy swim baits that are unrigged, and they rig them a certain way and all. I understand it because with these big, heavy baits, it's to keep the fish from being able to throw them. It mm-hmm. makes mm-hmm. total sense. It's like it gives them less leverage, you know, when they're trying to throw the bait. Well, you have those breakaways. So I've never been afraid of that because Tim fishes them all the time. He sort of showed me his setup with them, and it's just like very, very European. Yes, da. That's good, yes. 3D bait, 4D bait. That's good, yes. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's cool. I think people will do fine with it. The little trick with that, Jay, by the way, if you don't like the drop down, you can always JB weld it shut. So I've done that before.
There are options available.
There are. You can do that. You can rubber band it. I think it helps. I mean, I've gotten used to it with some of these weird baits that I have from Europe. Ugh.
And Tim's really, really good at coming up with his own like modifications mm-hmm. on rigging these things. You know,
yeah.
He did that Red October mm-hmm. video. Yeah, that was awesome. I'm like,
did.
Oh, where'd that come from?
Oh, our the Babyface boy from Canada, Mike, from Waterwolf, shoot the puck, Mike, big Habs fan. I think he's working on a Tim rig. We talked about that before where, you know, they do it. They just do it different there in Europe with some of this crap. And it's funny we brought this up because the conversation I had with Tim on the boat, we fished a bunch of days this week. And just some of the baits, man, they're just different. They're pike baits, obviously, but they're still musky baits. But they like some funky design over there. You know, it's just like different or... You know, you like a Smutley dog, how it has a line connector on the top for like a glide bait or like a mm-hmm. old Cobb baits head. Like there's tons of their custom glide baits that are like top connections. It's like sort of odd when you compare it to what we're doing over here. I don't know. I mean, we do
it. That's true.
We do it best in America. At least the t-shirt I wore to the beach said we do it best USA 1776. Anyway, I don't know. Jay, you know world history started in 1776. You're aware of that, correct?
World history started then? Okay.
Yeah. Everything sure. else was just didn't exist. Just Euro trash.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bunch of filthy Europeans. Sorry, French Canada. Anyway.
Ouch.
Ouch. Well, whatever.
Wow.
I don't speak French. They don't speak English. I don't know. That's when I got the call from Andrew from Cast and Conquer.
Bilingual Andrew.
Yeah.
You'll be getting a call from him.
You know, I don't know. America. I mean, that's where I'm at. Speaking of, I'll tell you a little European factoid.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Tim, he's from the Netherlands. Big piker. They stocked muskies in the Netherlands in the 80s.
Did they really?
Yes.
Are they catching? What's the story? Did any of them survive?
They just did a small amount of them.
Mm-hmm.
They got fished and that was it. They completely survived over there. We were talking about, I don't know if I mentioned it before, Tim and I were discussing a trip to, obviously, Russia's off the table.
Yeah, right now probably.
He might not get murdered. However, your old friend Steve would last about 3 hours in St. Petersburg. But we were discussing a trip to Mongolia probably next year because there's a fish called an Amur pike, which if you guys have not seen this, prepare. Mind's blown, Jay. It is found in Russia and Mongolia, and it's called an Amur pike, and they get bigger than muskies.
Yep.
And they are crazy.
Yeah, I've heard of those things. They get 70 pounders occasionally, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
But that's they
out there.
There's actually been a couple things, some things I've written, Mena, Joe, have been translated in Russian. And there's very few people doing it. It's just becoming a thing over there. And imagine a muskie that has just grinding teeth. Like, apparently, from what we've been able to find on these fish, it's all bite force. Like, they just hammer stuff. They kill it by hammering it. Where a muskie...
Shell crackers.
Mm-hmm. They basically have trout teeth. It's like, oh, we're just going to crush your skull. That's how we're going to kill you. So, we were discussing that. I don't know. We shall see. Mongolia. I heard Mongolia is exceptional in the spring, Jay.
Well, that's funny, because I was going to go there, too. Yeah.
Jay.
Mongolia, really? Okay.
What?
Go to France or something and get into some, you know, or like Holland or something. Oh, you know, what's that upper Baltic area where they get those, what do you call that? What do you call that water, that brackish water?
They got the pike. Been there.
Huge pike in there. Huge.
Tim doesn't want to do that. He's already, Tim has a.
He's been there, done that.
Been
right?
that, done that. Okay. Done that, okay. Been that. He has a legit 40-pound northern, which it's crazy. Which is, like, if you guys ever watch a video with Tim, I think he's in next week's video, too. He is a giant of a man. I'm not short, and he makes me look like a baby. But they've, you know, I don't know. Pike's a pike's a pike, Jay. Give me that toothless muskie is what I'm looking for.
I caught some pike on the Titans last weekend when it went out.
Big pike. And
yep. Not big. Decent.
Decent. It's almost. Yep. It's well, yep. This is not Pike 360, folks, so yep. We'll shut
well,
up.
Well, I'm just going to give my report. Well, no, I didn't catch any muskie last week. I'm a little disappointed, but you know who did?
Oh, man.
Is right.
I lost so much money on this deal.
I know.
Literally, I am. This is being recorded from a van because I lost my house betting on the Lakeland Hawks fundraiser.
It's the last time I listened to Doug the Greek.
Doug the Greek. Well, let's call down and give Freddie his 5 minutes of fame. All right, Jay. We have Freddie, the big winner, the Freddie Mercury Palermo. Fred. I heard you just.
How are we doing today?
You just beat their asses last week.
Well, you know that's what you get for betting against Freddie.
Freaking
wow!
100-1 100-1 odds.
100-1 odds.
Uh huh. It's not even fair. They were.
You're going to be paying for a while, ain't you, Steven?
I lost.
You took those odds.
I did. I'm living in my car. So it's bad.
Jody kicked you out of the house.
No,
she?
She's homeless too. I bet the house, everything against you as is customary. So, so did Jay. I'll be living with him soon. Me and Jay and Jody are all moving in with Wally. So we will be there soon. Fred, how did? Oh, by the way, Jay. Just to chime in, and I almost forgot, one of our podcasters sent a hell of a message. You got it earlier this week. He actually beat Fred.
Yep, he did.
Craig Cassetta.
3 minutes left. The Cassetta brothers.
And Craig, that message was awesome. All kidding aside, that was friggin' awesome. He basically what they did is, I'm paraphrasing Craig's email, is they did the stick and stay and make it pay. and ended up just stomping Freddie. Just absolutely annihilated. I'm teasing. Fred, you came in. You got a really nice fish. What did you end up cracking, like 42, something in that neighborhood?
42 and a quarter, yeah.
Nice.
I had the lead first place all the way until the last 50 minutes of the tournament.
Do you know why you...
And then that's when the Cassetta brothers popped that 44 and a half to beat me for big fish. Uh-huh. And then someone had also doubled up with a 35 and 37.
Right.
Otherwise.
Which that just shows you, if you're a podcaster, you're going to beat Fred. That was awesome, Fred. We're all teasing aside. That was awesome that you were able to just get that done. And I'm sure you have just given them a mortal hell this week at the shop, I'm betting.
Oh, yeah. So, absolutely.
Is Big Ticket there this evening?
No, he's not.
He's not.
He caught off sick. Did he?
No one could find him.
He caught off in shame. That's awesome.
He thought I was going to be crappie fishing.
How did you pull that fish, Fred?
We were fishing a dark body of water, and my partner had actually had a little time and gone out and did a little research on this body of water we were on. And he found some really good weeds, and the wind had been pounding on there all day long for a couple days in a row, probably.
There you go.
It was a good southwest wind, and she come out of nowhere and smacked it right at the side of the boat.
What were you throwing?
I was throwing a 700 grape flame booker.
Nice. Pencil. That's it. How can you go wrong? Bucktailing it up.
Yeah, like you're saying, Fred, you know, I mean, around here where we're fishing, you know, the weeds are low and slow with our late spring. And it's just like they're growing. Everything's looking good, but
everything's looking good.
The weeds are low.
Yep. And I was running it as fast as I could over the tops of them. And.
Really?
Had we connected, because we were in like 6 feet of water, and it was probably about 3 foot weeds that were, you know, the weeds were probably 3 feet high. And as I said, we were in 6 to 8 feet of water, and it just come out of nowhere. Had we connected on a couple other fish, we had two other fish on that very same point. And the other one was the exact same size, if not maybe a little bigger. And then about a 37, but that's how tournament fishing goes.
I don't know. Me and Jay wouldn't know we win first place.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it goes. Me and Jay, we just, they just hand us first and we leave. We don't even have to fish. I'm teasing. That's awesome. So anyway, big hand, Fred. And again, you know, one thing I'll say is this, this is not the tournament podcast. This is just people we know and we're having fun with this. A bunch of people emailed about other Fred is not like he just swept some tournament. This is the same guy that sings Queen intros on the show. So we did the thing for the Lakeland Hawks, Fred. And I've gotten 4,000 emails about other tournaments, which I appreciate, but we can't do this. This is not the sports center of muskie fishing. So anyway, right. Fred, congratulations, man. Good job on that. And again, we really appreciate what everybody did just for that event, for Lynn's Auto and all of our buddies essentially on that. So, all right, Fred, have a good one, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Is he gone, Jay?
Okay. He's gone.
That guy sucks.
I love
Fred. He's a hoot. Anyway, here he comes up with the burning bucktails over the weeds, folks.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay.
Didn't expect
burning
that.
Bucktails. Me neither.
Great flame, nonetheless.
Yep.
Nonetheless.
It's all for the oldest. Chess trick in the world,
you know, a blind squirrel find a nut.
Yep, that's 90% of them out there.
Great flame in it, boys.
But I'm glad you brought up the Cassetta brothers, because
that was an awesome.
Remember
email,
to do that.
Yeah, I forgot those, about it. I get a lot of emails.
Yeah,
I'll read
right,
it. Hold on, great email. It says Steve and Jay, wanted to just stop and share a sincere thanks. on your advice in the podcast, I apologize for the length, email, blah, 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 blah. You know, I sort of paraphrased it, but he said they were out about 2 p.m. He said him and his brother got a small muskie on a Livingston Viper, and, you know, having essentially a cold front, they started going to hot rocks. They were, you know, looking at the sun's beating down, and what happens, they found some warm rocks, and they just pounded them. Ended up putting some nice fish in the boat, so that was awesome. Anyway, Jay, I feel like the last couple weeks has been tournament coverage, round the clock.
Sports Center, like you, said.
For a tournament no one cares about.
It's for the kids, you know.
If we're all close personal friends, we will cover your tournament to no end. Anyway, I will say this. No more tournament coverage, I promise. However, I did agree. Hold on, which one was it? Let me find it here. There was a very nice tournament for Muskies Inc. They asked us to talk about, and I said that I would. Man of my word here. Let me find this, folks. Digging into the old mail sack.
There's a lot of Muskies Inc. chapters out there. There's dozens of them across the country, isn't there?
No more tournament coverage other than this one. The first annual Muskies Inc. Chapter 77 Muskie Derby. It is July 2nd, sunrise to 9 p.m., July 3rd, sunrise to 5, $30 to enter. Lure raffle and giveaway is the St. John River, Fort Kent to Hamlin, right? So there you have it, and this is from Henry. He said they're holding their first annual derby to raise money for a diet study. And most of these are going to be happening in New Brunswick. So if you're close to the St. John River, get a hold of Chapter 77. Have it your way. It'll you guys get out there and have a diet study and give them hell. So anyway, Jay.
Yep.
Due to the nonstop round-the-clock tournament coverage, because 3 years of doing a Muskie podcast, you'll take any little thing that's low-hanging fruit to run with, Jay. You know?
I will.
It's just like, you know, we got to do it every week, folks. Got to come up with something here. So we have neglected our Q&A. Just been horrible. Also, I'm an absolute sack of shit.
What happened?
Did a great interview with Steve Hiding.
Oh, yeah.
So let me play that. My apologies to Steve, but Steve's cool. So we're going to play that, and right after we're right into the Q's and the A's.
Beautiful.
All right, guys. I've got the man, the myth, the legend. One of my favorites, one of my favorite writers, hands down, in the muskie business, Steve Hiding. Steve, how you doing, my friend?
Good, Steven. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Steve, for those of you that are people that are new to Steve Hiding, right? You're so entrenched in the muskie game, but if somebody doesn't know who Steve Hiding is, give me the cliff notes, let her rip.
Where do I begin? I was managing editor at Muskie Hunter magazine for over 27 years. Just recently retired from that on April 1st. I've done everything, produced videos. I'm doing a YouTube channel now, radio segments, written about 500 magazine articles, a couple of books. I'm guiding now. If there's anything to be done in the muskie fishing world, I've appeared on TV shows. If there's anything to be done in the muskie fishing world, I've done it.
He's done what I'll say this. And I know that you worked with MEPS on some of their blades too. So you've been in the bait biz, everything.
Well, you know, that's as a promotional staff, advisor type capacity. You know, MEPS and some of the companies I've worked with over the years make great product, and I'm not a Joe Bucher, I'm not a lure designer. but you know, I can come up with a tweak or two now and then. I've had an influence on a couple of products. Largely behind the scenes, but yeah, a couple ideas.
We just call him Steve. Been there, done that, Hiding. So anyway, but it's cool because, you know, if you guys are looking at the app or looking for new footage, and Steve, we've added there to the app. You're shooting some videos. You got some really cool stuff. And that's what I want to talk to you. So,
you know, Steve sharing his extensive knowledge there within the video format. And obviously, you know, there's a lot there. And it's, I like what you're doing there and sort of explain, you know, what your goal is there, because it's like you're taking this cumulative knowledge from so many years on the water and so many articles and just like, boom, here's this really short, really informative video. And you're just going to keep producing those? Or is that just like the goal? You're just going to pump out this awesome content?
Well, I appreciate you calling it awesome. But my plan is to do 20 videos per year. They're all going to be 2 to 3 minutes long. The idea is that, you know, I have been shooting GoPro footage for a long time, and, you know, I've got all this footage of some very nice muskies. And, you know, I'm trying to, you know, my whole career, basically, I've been trying to educate people about fishing for muskies, because, you know, when I got started over 40 years ago now, there was nothing to help. No. You know, I joined a muskie club. I felt like an outcast because I wasn't one of, you know, the in guys. I hated that. And so my whole goal right now is just to help people, you know, enter this sport, because it's such an awesome sport. And so I've got all this footage, that I've shot over the last few years, and I think it's awesome. Or I like it, at least. And so I'm trying to, you know, build in talking points to try to help people, increase or up their learning curve here. And I talked to a number of younger guys, I'm in my 60s. I hate to admit it, but I'm all about content, but talking to younger guys, they say that they want shorter stuff. You know, one who I've known since he was 8 years old, and, you know, he's the son of a very good friend. And he just told me, he says, if it's longer than 8 minutes, I don't watch it.
No.
And he says, the shorter, the better. So I'm trying to pack it.
It's because we all have ADD, Steve, is why.
Yeah.
It's why. It's just like when the world is way faster, and it's like when it's been the internet and video games your whole life, it's like boom, 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 boom. So, yeah, thrift in length. So we know you love to help everybody, and we know you know what you're talking about. So let's get to the meat and taters here, if you will. What's going on in the North Woods? How can people put some
North Woods right now?
Oh, because I'm hearing mixed reports, and everybody's struggling. Let her rip, man. Let her rip. What's going on?
I would be having an awesome season if I could keep fish pinned. And good Lord, you know,
yeah.
They've been exactly where I thought they would be. And, you know, it's a cold spring. So what do you do in a cold spring? You know, the season opens Memorial Day weekend. The muskies are either going to be in their spawning locations or very, very close. And, you know, on opening day on Saturday last week, we found them in 2 to 4 feet of water in thick weeds. Well, geez, you know, that anybody who's been fishing muskies early season knows that.
Right. Check that box. Yeah.
Yeah. And what were we, like, I think Saturday we were like 3 for 6 or 3 for 7. And the 3 that stayed pinned were on a Squirko glider, you know, jerkbait. You know, a Fire Tiger one, we were fishing dark water. But, you know, I had a fish completely T-bone, a Suic, you know, 10 minutes on the water. And I thought, hey, this is off. My season's starting great. And fish was on for 15, 20 seconds and then off. you know, we had one on a bucktail fought all the way to the boat. We had a fish clobber a super topperator because it was raining hard, and a buddy the buddy I was fishing with, he's had success in hard rain with a super topperator. He put it on, fish came up and T-boned that, came off. The next day was even worse. I believe we were 1 for 7, caught a fish on a baby shallow raider. Moved a lot of fish on gliders, and they were either bumping it or it'd be set the hook, head shake off.
Yeah.
And it's just been that all week. You know, I've got a lot of smaller male fish in the boat this week. Those nicer fish, that I hope to be catching shortly here. Yeah. They've been coming off, and what they do, you know, I can't put my hand in my tackle box without coming back with blood all over my fingers.
Right.
How they're getting rid of that bait, I don't know.
I don't know. You know, sometimes you just look at your client and you go, they're hitting funny. I mean, it makes, you know, especially, and you know, as someone that has a GoPro on their boat as well, and you're filming this, you'll pull the footage in the evening and go, I blasted that fish.
Yeah.
You know, you just hammer down on him and you go, how, you know, often at times you question if they're just kind of T-boning and holding, who knows. So what else have you seen pattern? Is it all been in that shallow weed area? Are you seeing any suspended fish, or is it like that would be the go-to? Somebody that's driving up there from Chicago this weekend, boom, that's where they need to be on that, you know, the tannic, the more stained stuff in the weeds. Are there any other patterns that have emerged?
Not that I've seen yet. I'm sure the guys who have fished clear water have had some action, but I've been...
We call those follows. they don't have the same problem you have, I'm betting.
So. Yeah, I've largely been on dark water, and the fish are still shallow. I have checked open water, you know, for suspended fish, mm-hmm. and so far that, at least in my boat, is not happening yet. You know, water temperature yesterday was 62 to 63. Mm-hmm. Right now, the air temperature outside this morning, you know, I've got an office day today. I got some stuff I got to get caught up on. So I was outside. You know, the air temperature right now is about 53, 54 degrees, and it's going to be maybe the mid-60s today. So that's what guys are going to see this weekend when they come up. It's going to be, you know, 62 to 64 degree water temp. And you know, that suspended bite, I've caught them in that kind of water temperature before, but not, I haven't caught a lot in that water temperature. You got to start seeing that mid to high 60s before they start going suspended. I wouldn't doubt that there's some fish out there eating Ciscos, because why wouldn't they? If I were a muskie, I'd be eating Ciscos too.
Right.
But, you know, I think the best bet right now is stay shallow. Lots of stop and go baits, lots of downsizing, you know, single tail MEPS muskie killers. We're moving fish last week and the fish that we moved on bucktails, but again, most were on gliders and minnow baits.
Nice. Well, one thing that you know, you can agree, there's very few things we have control of in fishing other than speed and depth control. So what are you looking at in those 60 degree temperatures with this latest spring? What's your generality? It's hard to explain speed verbally, but where are you at presentation wise with speeds and how aggressive you're getting right now to sort of elicit action out of these things?
Well, it's stop and go. You know, you fish as fast as the bait will allow you. I had a real nice swing and miss on a hellhound yesterday.
I've been there.
But you get over the cabbage and, you know, the fish came out of nowhere, and I sure would have liked to have that fish in the boat. You know, when I see something like that happen, I go, ultimate predator, my foot, you know,
yeah.
Come on. How can you miss something like that? But you gotta consider fishing slow. You know, middle bait's going to pop to the surface. Typically you don't want that to happen. So you gotta fish it a little bit faster. The baby shallow raider has been, the better bait, of the twitch baits in my boat. Slimers, not so much yet, because they're a little more buoyant, so they pop to the surface a little faster. You gotta fish them a little faster. The baby shallow raider has a lot less buoyancy, so I can fish it slower. And the jerk baits have been smaller, you know, that we've been moving fish with. The largest we moved a fish with was a 9-inch Suic. It's just plug along until things get better. That's all we can do right now.
Nice. Well, and as all things, you know, it's gonna warm up. We're I would say what, a couple weeks out here before it just sort of evens out and you're into pretty steady eddy kind of temps up there would be the guess.
Yeah, it'll be a couple of weeks. You know, last year we touched 80 degrees the second week of June. It came right back down then. But it did pop up, and I did see 80 like the 11th or 12th of June last year. We're not going to see that anytime soon around here. You know, the daytime forecast isn't even supposed to be in the 70s, you know, like 70, 71, 72 until next week sometime.
Nice.
And so it's just a matter of, you know, keep plugging away in the shallow water areas, try to find a biter, and hopefully keep your fingers crossed that if a female comes up and grabs your bait, that she stays pinned.
eats the crap out of it, as we say. Well, just say no. We all know he's not one-dimensional, and Steve doesn't only fish the North Woods. You're going to be up in Canada, I believe, here doing your muskie school, correct? Here shortly.
Yes. Yeah, Jim Sarek and I do Jim Sarek and I do a school. We've done it for many, many years. It'd be like 25 years, probably consecutively, if not for COVID. But we're going to be up on Lake of the Woods July 16th to the 23rd this year. I'm looking forward to that very much. You know, the last 2 years not being able to do the school was very frustrating. You know, I did get to Canada at the end of August last year when they opened up the borders, and I'm very much looking forward to getting up there a couple times this year.
Well, and it's something for, you know, because we can finally really, with a little bit of authority, say that Canada is going to happen and, you know, back to normal, if you will.
What they did, you know, last year, so far as requiring that you have a negative test within 72 hours, that didn't cause any kind of an uptick in COVID up there. So, and basically, I think the world is pretty much done with COVID. Let's put it in the rearview mirror and move on, folks.
So if you're thinking, and the reason I'm going there, which is, you know, if you want to learn how to fish on Lake of the Woods and you want to get your feet wet, I think the school that you guys do is such a great opportunity, because not only are you getting, you're learning some of the routes for safe navigation, you're going with guys that know this like the back of your hand, which I think it's an amazing opportunity for guys that want to break into Canada. And I think you guys are absolutely, not only are you educating, but you're reducing that learning curve on transitioning to Lake of the Woods, hands down.
Oh, yeah. And what we try to do is get everybody working together. You know, we don't want people to come back to the lodge and say, hey, guys, there's a 50-incher on this rock. Go catch it. But come back and share the patterns that, you know, work for you during the day. You know, we basically end up having, you know, a dozen boats all working together. And when the pattern changes, and typically we'll see one or two or three different patterns during the course of the week, as the patterns evolve, we're right on top of it because somebody figures it out. You know, if you ever fished a tournament or you ever fished in a large guide group or just a large group in general, you know, somebody always figures it out no matter how tough the fishing is in your opinion. And you always want to be the person who figures it out. Well, if you got, you know, a dozen boats working together, it's a whole lot better than just being one boat trying to figure it out.
Life's a lot easier. So, yeah, definitely you can check out. And if you're new to Steve Hiding, what is it, stevehiding.com, and then you're on all the social platforms as well, correct?
Yes, sir. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I'm not on Twitter. I still so far refuse to tweet.
don't we all? Don't we all? So anyway, guys, check it out. His new videos on the app here. Steve, we'll talk to you again soon. I want to check in with you again here shortly and get a little Northwoods update from you. I'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Steven. Take care.
Jay, fun stuff. We're a week late on the old Steve Hiding stuff there, but he's a good dude. Good content. Absolutely. Knows what he's talking about. Jay, it is Q and a 30. Here it goes. Daniel, I know you've discussed bait selection in the past, but at what point do you choose to try a bait that's somewhere outside the standard categories? He's talking Royal Orbas, Beavers, Grubzillas, Banana Splits, weird stuff. Wow. Mm-hmm. Love it. Interesting concept, because there are some of those outlier baits where you go, they really don't fit in a mold, right? Royal Orba, and then maybe like a Boggs Mohawk.
Yeah, I was just
literally
about
to say that, where you go, is this a jerk bait, pool bait, swim bait? Or is, you know, is the Royal Orba a rubber bucktail? Interesting. You know, so you've got these oddities, these weird baits. So beaver bait, to me, just going to tell you something. There's a bait in Europe, back to our Eurocentric Jay, called a Mirius mouse, right? And this is a big Euro pike bait, and it's just a giant castable fly, right? Seen that for years. I'm not comparing the two, like I'm not saying anybody copied or thought about, but I just think of it in the same thing where I go, okay, here's this bait that's sort of like a bulkhead fly. And then a few years later, here comes the beaver bait. We go, okay, that's a castable fly. That's in my mind, like they all sort of do the same thing. I don't know if it makes sense. Maybe I'm off on a weird tangent, but you know, the beaver bait to me is a fly in some regard, where it's like, pull, stop,
pull, stop, pull, stop. You know, so
I tend to agree.
Yep. You know, I mean, conceptually in the way you're running it, I mean, a Grubzilla, Banana Sweat, hell, you could throw a whale tail in there, all this stuff. The reason I sort of brought up the fly thing and like the Mirius Mouse or whatever is like, I'm going to those when it's a tough bite. Maybe that's where I'm trying to go conceptually was like with a beaver bait, I might be going there when things are weird or rough, right? If I'm on a hot bite, I'm not going to what I call the Island of Misfit Toys in my boat.
Yeah, right.
But I definitely have a couple slots in my box that are the Misfit Toys. And you go, you know what? Break it out. So if I don't know anything else to do, I start playing. The way you find new patterns is playing. The best baits to play with are the weird ones, right? Let's say you go out and you're going to do an 8-hour day with a buddy or a guide or whatever. And you start the day with bucktails. Well, you don't spend 8 hours on bucktails with zero return. You need to be checking things out. You know, you do your bucktails, you do your rubber, you do your cranks, you sort of cover all the basics, your diving rods. Now it's time to get the weird stuff. That's when I start checking it out. Now, you know, like a beaver bait, I run mine with no weight, so it's like this high running sort of fly suspendo thing. A Royal Orbit, to me, I'm using that as a very deep running bucktail, if you will. Same concept. I'm going to run it deep and tight to weeds or deep and tight to the bottom. Grubzilla, I mean, there's so many options here. I mean, maybe not on exactly the application here, but conceptually, when nothing's clicking, get to the weird. You know, get to the weird stuff. I mean, Jay, is there anything that you sort of have in your arsenal that's like that, and when do you use it?
Well, I was just thinking earlier you said when there's a hot bite. And when there's a hot bite, I think everybody's got their go-to baits. It's just like they have a favorite bucktail, and they've got a top rater they're pulling out that's got 7,000 scars on it from fish caught. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The hot stuff, and you know, fish are fairly shallow, and they're snapping. But, yeah, absolutely, I agree. Anytime you got a lot of blue sky, more blue sky than clouds, you know, it's probably not a super hot bite and great time to play, especially after that morning period where you checked out the shallow areas to see if there's fish in there, and you know it's coming up on midday, and midday is usually not the hot peak time, obviously, and yeah, time to experiment. What'd you ask if there's something? For me, I'm just thinking about the new stuff that we've got so much new stuff in lately that I want to try. You know, like I said a few minutes ago, I scratched off the Titans on my list. I finally got the chance last weekend to try them out, all five of my Titans. You know, I was trying the different colors and all that.
Hey,
and that was fun. And
by the way, you have, I had hooked you up with handmade ones, and you can attest there's no difference.
No, they do the same thing.
Nice.
Exact same thing.
You know,
what I'm doing, Steve, is I've been experimenting with different tails because I got it right here. Hear that? There she is. Mm-hmm. There's the original crappie you gave me. And it's all beat up, and the tail's not really white anymore. And anyway, the stock tail's a little bit different, and I've got some Kalin's tails, and I was messing with those. They're a little bit wider. There's different things you can do with that. You know, we talked a long time ago about putting, what are they called? Salt shakers.
Yep.
By Lunker City. It's like a 6-inch, 5-inch deal. And what I'm going to do is cut about a third of the body off and screw that on, because the Titan's got the screw-in tail. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter. You don't need any glue.
Right.
It's like, wham, you put that thing on there and it doesn't move. It's impressive.
And if you don't like it, take it off and unscrew it and put something else on there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my next phase anyway. If I get out this weekend, hopefully, is to try a couple of those with it's a paddle tail.
Yeah.
And it's going to have a completely different little vibration on there. And you said you tried it, and it affect the action at all. It still runs good.
I dig them.
And you're talking about the beaver baits, too.
Yeah.
Brian, who makes the beaver baits, he lives in Minnesota. He is coming to our bash.
Nice.
July 16th.
The Beaver, Beaver Boys.
He will have a display there of some cool stuff. And I haven't seen him for about a year, so that'll be great. There'll be a lot of other manufacturers, too. A lot of them are coming.
Jay, do you ever watch a show called Tim and Eric?
Nope.
They used to have the Beaver Boys on there, and they would drink shrimp or eat shrimp and drink white wine. It was it was horrible and weird.
Left field, okay.
Oh, if one guy out there went, oh my God, he's laughing his ass off right now because he remembers this. It's like Kids in the Hall, but on crack. By the way, okay. It's weird. You know, you talk about. To be honest with you, I think the real concept here would be best laid plans. From when you need to have that arsenal of the weird, because, you know, I'm getting geared up for Wisconsin, right? After that, got some business, got to go to the Canada for 5-6 days. So I'm gearing up for two different trips. And you sort of have, all right, this is what I think's going to happen in Wisconsin, right? You know what I'm already packing up, Jay. You know it, right? This is yep. What I'm packing up. And then I have my Canada pack up stuff. Now, there is one floating box, which is all the weird crap. Hog wobblers, right? Mohawks. Again, the beaver baits, which are not that weird, but Royal Orbas are making both trips. Some of these segmented swim baits, like these big Livingston Vipers. Just the oddities where you're going. These are not staples, but man, when you need them, you need them, right? Sort of having it, and again, just conceptually for me, from a standpoint as a guide or just fishing, you know, it's going to get fruity, Jay, for a second. You know, you don't paint the entire picture in hot pink and fuchsia, but you got some hot colors there if you need them, right? Always have that arsenal of the weird, the ugly, the strange presentations, because sometimes that's what it's going to take.
Well, very first, do you remember the very first fish we saw on last year's trip when you came up? And I believe it was neighbor Steve that raised it.
Mm-hmm.
Purple with chartreuse.
Yeah.
Okay. It was pretty clear water at the time, too.
Right.
Not your normal color selection. Mm-mm. And you said, Steve, try this. You know, here's how you run it. It was one of the Spitfire
kamikazes.
Kamikazes. Yep. And just a giant. I mean, really good fish came up and just made an appearance at the figure eight. And he brought the bait around. Blah, blah, blah. We're like, whoa, dang. Yeah. You know, nothing going. All of a sudden, bam, we started seeing fish. But is that what it took? Was it the color? Was it the bait? You know, you had a feeling that that bait was going to work in that situation over weed tops on the deep weed edges. And, but I would consider it weird because that was the first time I'd seen that bait, that chatterbait style mm-hmm. bait in the water. And it's an unbucktail.
Unbucktail. That's, you know, they're going to put that on my tombstone. Unbucktail. Next one up is from Dazed and Confused. He says, hey, Steve and Jay. I'm curious, what chip should I buy for my Hummingbird Helix, Navionics or Lake Master? I'm wondering which chip is better for Wisconsin waters. I'm considering between the Navionics Plus regions and Lake Master Plus. See you at the bash. See you at the bash. They're
wonderful.
Glazed and confused. I am a Navionics person.
Yeah, that's right in your wheelhouse there. Yeah. You tell me about it.
I have... Okay. The guru used to have the Lake Master chip and hated it. Maybe they've changed it, right? Maybe mm-hmm. it's better. Don't know. Not trying to be partisan here. I'm playing down the middle politics here. My dogs are howling in the back. I'm sure you can hear that.
Hound dog.
Anyway, America. Sorry. If you ain't got hound dogs, you ain't American. How can you be a creaker without a hound dog?
Right.
Anyway, Navionics have not let me down. I'll just leave it at that. You know, that has been solid for me, especially up north. So I run the Navionics North. I can actually say this because it doesn't matter where you get it from. I've bought mine off eBay used for like nothing. So the Navionics, I think I have Navionics like Hot Maps Plus or something on the old eBay for cheap. the lakes have not changed since when they mapped them. That's what I'll say. Anyway,
right.
Jake, I live in PA, right side of Philly. Muskie populations are doing well around the lakes in southeast PA, starting to transition to summer with water temps in the 70s. Do I want to consider transitioning to deeper water with bigger baits in the 10 to 12 foot range? You know, fall size swim baits. What's the game plan? So right off the top of my head, I'm just going to jump in on this, is when I'm starting to see those 70s, I'm not afraid to stay shallow, right? Don't be afraid to get up in that nitty gritty of upper 70s, right? Those fish are going to gravitate to that warmer water. You're more active fish, but you need to be fishing at all for your daily patterns, right? So in general, start shallow and work out to that 10, 20 foot range, and then just depth appropriate baits. Water temps in that upper 60s through the upper 70s, that's your time to throw your big stuff, right? Throw your 10-inch cranks, 8-inch cranks, your 10s, your 8s, 7-inch cranks, all that stuff. Break it out. You're going to have to really dial in on what size class baits they want and the speed, but you don't have to come off the edge because of temp yet, right? Simply, now you get to the upper end of that stuff, I'm not even going to even touch on the 80-degree water stuff. I don't have the energy for it today. But, you know, when things are getting hot, they might back off that edge a bit more. But in general, you're going to have hot fish up shallow, and you're going to have negative neutral fish on that 10, 15-foot break line. Check it all, big baits, and give them hell. Jay, would you say anything else there?
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's
no, I like your approach there. You know, start out shallow.
Do your morning progression.
Start shallow and continue to work out. And, you know, when you want to take a lunch break, snap on some...
a Slim Jim.
Supernatural headlocks, you know what I mean? Go with the big bodies.
John.
Out there.
My big question is, when do the Titans restock? Couldn't get one in time.
Oh, boy.
They're coming. We've got some... Yeah, you know, I've not talked about much on the podcast, but Livingston sent out an email. There's some people that had some baits that were acting funky. There was freaking a little water intrusion, whatever. So there's a big thing of replacements coming from some of those. The rest of them are great. People are catching tons of fish on these things, which is incredible. So those should be here before the bash. So we'll see exactly how many will be there for the shop. So I'll warn you, the batch that shows up, the next batch you see, will probably be limited. So if you're on the sign up, stay on. You're already on there. But if you're not signed up, sign up now, because it's not going to be thousands. It's going to probably be like 700 or 800. And then there'll be another big order coming behind that. But people are, Jay, again, I've tried to lay off the Titan talk just so I'm not driving people nuts. And I don't like talking about myself. You know, by the way, speaking, I turned down an invite from the other podcast to talk about myself. I can't do it, Jay.
The other podcast invited you?
I can't do it.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Weird. I like talking about fish, and I don't like, oh, here's what I do. Creepy. But anyway, just simply like, you know, with the Titans, it's been so well, and everybody's catching so many fish. But, you know, they'll be back in here soon, but more Titan talk as they get closer here. Mitchell, can you go over what and how to fish in June once the water starts to get over 70 degrees? What should I be looking for, and what baits are going to be better? Okay, let's go back. Was a question before last, kind of thought process in general. So multiple people are asking, so let's refocus on this. 70 degree water temp. I really think like 72 to 75 is prime. That's prime in my mind. Surface temps there, that's going to get the muskies up high. It's going to get the bait up high. That is essentially your bucktail and topwater time that everybody's looking for. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If I see 75 degree water temps and the sun is going down and it is dusk and it looks like every musky fishing video I've seen my entire childhood, I will strap on a top raider for 7 casts. But It's that quintessential June, July, primetime muskie fishing, what everyone thinks of muskie fishing. That's when you need the bucktails. That's when you need your topwater. Fish those shallow baits. Fish them up high. You can fish them aggressively. Those fish are going to blow up on them. They're going to be crazy. Right? Mm-hmm. What me and Jay are preaching about all the time and probably have people spooked out on is the other 10 months of the year. Right? But you will find high active fish in those temperatures. So 70 degree water to the dreaded 80, you can fish aggressively, you can fish big baits, and you can fish them fast. Right? So your warm month, your June, July game plan should be littoral zone, your vegetative areas, fishing high baits, checking that out. If there's not a bite there, then you need to back it down to your rubber baits, your toads, your tubes, and you need to be making contact with cover and structure, getting in their face to get a bite out of them. Right? But that is that prime musky time. I hate prime time. But you can really implement. I don't think, Jay, when you're in that 75 degree tactic, that headspace, I don't know if there's really a wrong presentation. Right? But each individual body of water might be dialed in on X, Y, and Z. But if it runs 5-6 feet or shallower, I think it's effective.
Yeah, to a degree.
They're all over the
water column at that point too.
Yeah,
and that's what's beautiful. And they're active and all over the water column. So it's a daily thing, and it's a timing thing with what time
right,
of the day.
Right. Don't go out at high noon and burn tens.
Mm-hmm.
But all the tools are available for you. You're gonna sun up. Okay, it's still dark out and the sun's just cracking. Yeah. Throw a fat bastard, throw a top raider, throw, like Freddie did, throw a 700 series bucktail, whatever. And in the middle of the day, back it down to your rubber, your deeper stuff, or heck, a sand cat, a titan, whatever it might be. There's a lot of available things there going on. You catch it. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, what we're talking about the rest of the year is you catch it where it's a rubber bite in the dead of winter, right? Or so. It's wide open in those temperatures. You just need to figure out on your lake through process of elimination what's working, what's not. Primarily, when I'm seeing temps like that, it's going to be a shallow water bite. High-pressured lakes get a cast and a half off. But you can work those baits aggressively.
Personally, I wanted to add, too, that I think summer is the most predictable pattern and yeah. the best time to fish for muskies. I think 99% of musky fishermen are going to say, early fall or late fall. Right. How many times have you heard that? That's their favorite time. Easiest time. I think that's a more difficult time to pattern fish. Summer's most predictable. It's easier to put fish in the boat throughout any point in the day. That's
to be honest with you, especially up there, dude, there's going to be more muskies hitting pontoon boats in the month of July than any other month. Here's Bob and Bev. We're going to go for our sunset cruise and we're going to drag a crankbait behind the boat and they catch fish. I mean, come on, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not fool ourselves. They're hot. They're there for the picking. Find out what's working. Process of elimination. Play smart poker. Because at the end of the day, it's like, everybody's idea of success is going to differ, but if I'm going out in a body of water, I'm putting 6 hours in, there better be something high 30s or 40s minimally hitting the boat, right? And you're going to dial that in. You're going to get focused on this is what I'm doing. This is what they want. This is how I'm doing it. You might be new to the game and you're going out and you go, I just want to catch fish. Throw the bucktails. Throw that black and nickel bucktail. We talked about that in the past. Depending on where you're at in your stage of game, take advantage of that prime condition to learn, right? What works, what doesn't work. Be inventive, be creative, right? And that's what's so amazing. I think, and I'm having, maybe because I fish all day long and then I come and do the podcast, I have about 7 Pepsis, trying to articulate where I'm going at with that bait thing. It's like, during different periods of time, not everything's available to you. July, throw whatever you want.
You know, I had a friend one time, he said, you can sort of pick what you want to catch them on when they're hot. That's the most active. So if you're trying to dial in your glide bait game, you better be throwing glide baits and getting dialed in on it and learning some stuff. So take advantage of these prime time 70 degree plus temperatures and get dialed in on the fish. All right. This one is from Jack. He says, I live in southern Maine. Although we only have muskies 8 hours north of me, we have northern pike in my area. Is fishing for northerns here applicable practice for muskies as far as like what can I learn and what can I do? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll say this. So if you're new to the muskie gamer, it's a different concept, right? And I don't have northern pike to play with. They would be southern pike at that point. So I always love seeing them.
Yep.
But out on the cast, there's no difference. If it's hammer handles, come on. We all know the difference on the strike, but I've latched into plenty of upper 30s, 40s, up to mid 40 inch northern pike and didn't know until I could see him, right?
Yeah.
Application. Right. Your presentations are not going to be that different. So if you're looking for fish to practice on closer to home, but you know, say he's going down the road, you know, he's gone on a trip once a month to go chase these things or whenever he can. Yeah. Go beat up the pike and go, okay, again, back to what we were just saying, dial in your dive and rise game on them. Dial in your glide bait presentation. Learn how
to, they love dive and rise. Absolutely. Yeah.
Learn the presentations on fish. That's it. You know, if a pike will hit it, the presentation is good enough for a muskie in general.
I think they're less responsive to figure eights. That would be the main difference. Right. But yeah, but just generally, you know, getting them to hit away from the boat. Absolutely. It's 30 plus inch pike. Awesome.
You're going to get positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely take your muskie baits and go piking and go, okay, if I'm not seeing northerns, my presentation isn't right. Okay. How do I work this bait? Well, go to 360, go to the Muskie Shop TV and go, well, that's what they're doing. And then once you start doing it in a way that's right, the northerns will let you know this is good. And you take that to your muskie waters, whammo, bab one, bammo, big one in the net. Kyle. Hey, Steve, curious about weighing my crankbaits like you and Joe have talked about with lead tape or upsizing hooks. Whenever I try to weigh the bait so that the head rises before the tail, it seems to lose almost all the crankbait action. Just wondering if you have any tips to avoid this. Okay. So, lead tape on the baits. Really, what we're doing on that, and maybe I'm wrong, and Kyle, you can respond with a different email if I'm reading this wrong or if I'm sort of thinking wrong. When me and Booker are weighting our crankbaits with lead tape, we're not cranking them. We're twitching them. Okay? So in the scenario that we need that deeper running crankbait, you need a crankbait, like a shallow rater, right? I need to re-weigh that bait because A, muskies want a small presentation, but they don't want it fast and they need a lot of hang time to be talked into eating it, right? That does not equal a straight crank presentation. That is a tiny little twitch bait. So I throw it out next to the weeds or the rocks, bang, 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 let it hang. Bang, 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 let it hang. So I'm not looking for that really classic crankbait presentation as much as I'm looking for twitch, twitch, hang, twitch, twitch, hang, right? You will lose some of that fat wobble there. Now, typically when I weight mine, I do it on the top of the bait. If I'm doing tape, so I'll do layers at the head of the bait, so it's like weird buoyancy. If you can imagine, it wants to roll over on its side, but the lip tries to keep it straight when I do crank it. So I do have some action, but it's not a big fat wide deal there. Mm-hmm. The other option are bell sinkers, because the bell sinker is sort of like a stationary point in the bait can sort of bang around above it. Try that, but don't expect like a really sexy crankbait look to it on a straight crank. So twitch it,
Booker's got a ton of videos. He calls it his hybrid technique. That's primarily what we're talking about. We're going to throw it out there. Bang, 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 and hang. Bang, and hang, bang, and hang. And let it just sit there in their face until they grab it as really a ticket there. Let me know if that's where you're pointing at, if that helps you out at all. Robbie, hey, Steve and Jay, awesome podcast. So I fish a super clear lake here in Michigan. Fish it about 30 times a year, and I've only caught 3 fish out of it. But every time I go, I get tons of follows. I mean, like 5 plus a trip. One day I had 9. They just won't eat. They'll follow any bait I throw right to the bait and never commit. I've only had 2 follow in the 8 in 3 years. Okay, so they're getting there and they're not going. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The boat never got northern strange
super
fish.
Clear water.
Yeah. He says he goes to other lake and catches a ton of fish. He said he's wits in with this lake. So he's catching fish on other bodies of water. I'm summarizing here. So this dude's got fish that are coming in. Just a couple will hang out in the 8. Right, he's catching fish other places, so it's not like we're a fishless thing here. But this body water's giving him fits. Okay. First and foremost, stop worrying about seeing them. Okay, and you go, what do you mean? I said it earlier in the podcast. Positive feedback about the pike. Right, you know they are there. We don't have to see muskies anymore. You know they're in that body of water. Back your boat off and start adding in those mid-cast triggers to get them to go. Okay? So, this sounds similar to what I've ran into with tiger muskies, where they're boat shy. Tigers don't like figure eights, just like northerns don't. And gin clear water, you need some time. Right?
So yep, long cast and mid-cast tricks. Yep.
Right. And so, say I'm throwing to a weed edge or a rock edge. I don't care what it is. A musky holding area. Bomb cast it as best as you can, right? Get it out there. Give yourself some operating room so that you can get him to come off the covering structure, and you're adding in big elongated pauses, or you're adding in burns, you're adding in twitches, whatever kind of presentation you're using. You need to focus on getting that fish to eat 30 feet off the boat, 40 feet off the boat before he can see you.
Yeah, good tip. Yep.
Right? So, with that being said, glide baits. Let's say they're in glide baits. Okay, what do you mean by this? So, glide baits are interesting in the fact that they all pretty much fall, right? They fall and they sink and they go down. So, when I'm fishing tigers on a body that's only tigers, I don't even think about a figure eight. I think about 25, 30 feet off the boat. I stop that bait and dead stick it. Right then, let it sink down. If I see him coming and he hasn't hit yet, just let it fall and start dead sicking. Like, let it get down 6-7 feet and pop it up. Let it fall again, pop it up. Try your best to get him to eat away from the boat, because it sounds like they're boat shy. It's probably really clear. You're probably, you know, casting shadows, a litany of things. It's a foreign object out there in the water. Mid-cast triggers on the end of the things, right? So let your glide baits fall, dead stick them. Your rubber baits, the same thing can be said. Now, a thing that I've said to other anglers about spooky fish or bodies of water like this, you got to come off some of your traditional baits like bucktails. There's nothing you can do with them. If they're not going to eat boat side, stop throwing bucktails, right? Convert over to spinner baits, because let's say that we are throwing at this deep edge and we're throwing a spinner bait. Well, guess what you can do 30 feet off the boat? Let it drop and it still has action. So focus on baits that have action on the fall. You're going to have to dead stick these fish to get them to do something. You know, your crankbaits, reel them in, stop and really work on 30, 40 feet out that you're doing something, letting it rise up and then ripping it back down to try to get a reaction strike, because you're not converting them beside the boat. You're not getting them to eat in that zone. Make sure your game focuses on that further out zone to get them to eat. Jay, what would be some tips on that sort of that mid-cast trigger, that eat off the boat game?
Yeah, I think you're right on with that, you know. I think you're right on. And he's probably fishing daylight too.
Yeah. Good point, dude.
Yeah. I mean,
nighttime.
Low light periods, you know, it's going to be even more crucial fishing the clear water. And, you know, the thing with the stain water, too, you're bringing up fish you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just keep that in mind too. You know?
Well, I like, I mean, dude, there's something to be said about if it's that problematic. If it's that problematic, just go at night. If you can do it. If those fish are that spooky, and I fish bodies of water that where you go, and I'm not talking tigers, I'm talking real muskies, and they're 30 feet off the boat, and you just see them, they're coming in hot, and they just go whoop and mm-hmm. zip off. You go at night, you go light, low light period into 2 a.m, and they're dumber than all get out.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not assuming, I should say, this mm-hmm. could be the factor too on that lake that we've got lakes in Wisconsin that are chin clear the mm-hmm. first couple months of season, and then all of a sudden they stain up.
True.
And muskies know that, and they're accustomed to that happening, those changing, and in their particular environments, so they're reacting differently. So you got to adapt, and I think your tips were right on, spot on.
Well, I like what you said. Hit them at nighttime if you can't get them to go, or just, you know, get up and do sunrise an hour before sunrise and sunset an hour after and see if it helps at all.
Yeah.
You know, and if they won't hit that, then just go somewhere else. Yeah, now they'll eat, but man, I've been on, you know, if you've not experienced it, those bodies of water, they're that tricky where you go, do I need to paint my boat? You know,
am I wearing too bright of a shirt?
Right. Do I need to lay down when I figure eight? Because it seems like they just have these fish go, oh, that's you again. And you're going, come on. So they get difficult. But anyway, guys, we caught up on the Q&A. We got some stuff coming up. July 16th, Muskie Shop Bash. It is the 16th this year, right, Jay?
It is.
Okay. And then the 17th.
Muskie School.
So
Livingston Muskie School.
Guys, come out. We know a bunch of you are going to be there. The power panel is going to be there. Anyway, say goodnight, Jay Bird.
Night, guys.
Mama just caught a hawk, threw a bulldog by its head, ripping.